Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, verse number 3 is my text verse this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. And let's pray together. Father, please help me to tell the truth as you've written it. Lord, help us to see the truth and enjoy it and appreciate it. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some very basic fundamental truths that we should not allow to be commonplace, so we take them for granted and get bored with them. I fear for the young people in our church when they've been in church their whole life, and then they come to church and they just take it for granted. I get scared for them when you lose your awe at what God's done for you because it's so commonplace. That's what they fight. Amen. We have people who've been saved later in life, and they bring baggage to church that they're trying to get through. Amen. But the young people, don't let church become common to you. There's people here this morning that look at you being raised in church and they think, dear God, how come that couldn't? I wish that could be me. You sit here sometimes, because I see it on your face, and you're going, okay, after this, I'm going to watch this afternoon. And don't get so used to it that you lose your awe. You lose it. We can become so familiar with precious truths of the Bible that we lose our wonder and amazement at what God's done for us. Don't become like the Athenians during Paul's day. It says in Acts 17:21 that they spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. Do you get that? In other words, when they came to church, it was like, okay, I'm here for you to tell me something that I've never heard before. Look, if you're reading your Bible like you're supposed to, I'm not supposed to tell you things you've never heard before. I'll give you ways of thinking about things that you've known a long time. Amen. And if you're always looking for something new, oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, I know about that. Careful, Christian. You're on your way to having itching ears. And itching ears says this. It says, I've heard the old story so long, I'm sick of it, and now I want entertainment. You got a movie on this? Come on, give me, act out something. Got a drama team, that's itching ears. That's where I've heard it so much, it's boring to me. Careful, there is a group of people in the Bible that God says, don't be like that. Did you know it's your character that keeps you from being bored? Jesus died on a cross. Your ability to love him for it is your call. Amen. That's your discipline. But I hope, I might tell you some things you've not thought of before, but this morning, I don't think I'll tell you anything that you haven't heard before. Amen? I'm not trying to tell you something new. God tells me as a pastor to put you in remembrance of things, right? But I'm not trying to come up with something new every time I get up here to preach. Amen? As you read your Bible with the right mindset, that is, that you're holding in your hands the very words of God, you learn the beautiful truths in Genesis and Psalms and all throughout your Bible. But of all the truths that you'll ever learn from God's Word, there is no greater, grander truth than this. God Almighty, your eternal Creator, sent His only Son to die on a cross for you, to pay for your sins, and 3 days later, Jesus arose from the dead. That's the greatest truth in your Bible. It's a fact of God's Word. It's mentioned 40 times in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus. In the book of Acts, it's mentioned 24 times. What a truth. Over and over again, God wants us to remember. God wants us to think about it. It's not only a fact of God's word. It was prophesied about and fulfilled by Jesus, but it's a fact of history. Think with me just for a second. If you look at the extent man has gone to erase that truth from the cultures of the world, it becomes more factual. Somebody said, prove to me the Bible's the word of God. I said, name me another book dictators have tried to destroy. That, to me, is one instance that proves the Bible's the word of God. Hitler didn't say, burn the Quran. He didn't say, burn the Vedas of the Hindus. He said, get rid of the Bible. That instance tells me what we're dealing with. There's a reason it's the most hated book in the world. Amen? Think about it. The earth doesn't labor to rid mankind of the gospel of Santa Claus. They're not trying to get rid of the gospel of the Easter Bunny. As a matter of fact, you're almost considered criminal if you don't believe those fairy tales. And how dare you tell a child that Santa Claus isn't real? You've warped his psyche. It's ridiculous. There's no such thing as the Easter Bunny. They don't care what you believe as long as you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. Anything else that is considered a fairy tale is never spoken against. But listen, every day, somewhere in the world, someone's put to death for telling someone else that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone's murdered for that. How come there's such a fierce opposition of men in every culture and people of every race to men simply telling others they believe something? Why is that? Why is that a death penalty offense in so many countries? The world calls it a fairy tale, but name another fairy tale that's met with such hatred and violence and results in such martyrdom. You're there in Acts chapter 1. Now, what'll help you, and I'll help you with this tonight, is God used Luke to pen the book of Acts. And Luke acts as a continuation of the book of Luke. So if you read the 24 chapters of Luke, stopped, skipped John, and went right to Acts 1, you would read how God is using Luke to pen his words, and it was written to an individual, Theophilus. But let's read this. Look at verse 1. The former treaty, he's talking about the book of Luke. Have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So after Jesus rose from the dead, there was a 40-day period of time where he was here on this earth before he went up to heaven, being seen of them 40 days. And then it says, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If you just think of the word infallible, it means there can be no mistake about it, and the facts cannot be contradicted that Jesus was alive. But it says, by many infallible proofs, not Darwinian theories of evolution, not human guesswork, proofs, many unquestionable proofs that Jesus was alive is what he's speaking about. God tells us that those many infallible proofs establish the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We have many things. Now watch this. There's many things in our nation that only a few people have seen that we take as unquestionable. You say, name one. Washington crossing the Delaware. That's unquestionable. Did you know there was only one person that wrote about that? Now, we know what happened. I'm not questioning whether Washington crossed the Delaware. I'm saying there's only a few people that saw it. And yet we say, that's absolute fact. Just a few. How about this? Lincoln being shot by Booth in the Ford Theater. It was only seen by his wife. You say, well, all the people, they were watching the play. They weren't watching Lincoln get shot. There was one person that saw it. I know it happened. But there's very few eyewitnesses to Lincoln being shot, and yet we say it's absolute. With that being the groundwork, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, there's over 500 men that Jesus appeared to all at once. There was one time in 40 days, we don't know where it was, the Bible doesn't tell us, but there was a crowd of 500 people that after Jesus was risen, he appeared to. That's 500 people that saw him. The evidence is so strong from so many sources that even skeptics and atheists who won't accept who Jesus is cannot deny the biblical account of the resurrection. They say this, if you added up those 500 people, the apostles and the people that Jesus appeared to, and you gave them a 15-minute interview, each one of them, it added up to over 120 hours of testimony that Jesus is alive. Isn't that wonderful? There's so much proof that Jesus rose from the dead, it's unquestionable whether you're saved or lost from a lawyer's standpoint. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a risen Savior. Let me kind of close this aspect with it this. There are more eyewitness testimonies to the resurrection of Jesus Christ than any other event in history. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very established, unquestionable fact. If you think for another moment about the other side of it, think about the violent opposition to the gospel by the men that were at the time of the Roman Empire. Think, the Jews hated Jesus. He came unto his own and his own received him not. The Roman Empire felt threatened that Jesus would be worshipped and feared more than the emperor. So you have the Jews hating Jesus, the Roman Empire hating Jesus. Then you had all the other cults and false religions in Israel of that day. The tomb yet, praise God, it was empty. And as people who hated Jesus searched for just one bone to be found, if they could find one bone, they could disprove the whole thing. Amen? Not one bone was ever found of Jesus. That's because he rose from the dead. But boy, did they search. Boy, did they look. Spent days and months doing it. Not one bone was found. The Jews tortured believers by the hundreds and trying to get them to confess that they were the trickery and the deceit, that they were trying to fool the world that Jesus was risen. Listen closely. Out of the hundreds of people tortured to death, the Jews couldn't get one of them to say, okay, it's a lie. He didn't rise from the dead. Look, you don't die for something that's phony. Amen? You die for something that's real. You die for something that's real. I'm trying to show you there's so many infallible proofs that Jesus is alive this morning. How about this? Look at how the apostles died. Now, this morning, I'm going to name some apostles to you, and a few of them were not apostles. I'll try to point that out. But out of all of the Jesus' followers, not one of them denied him in death or torture. And they died in bloody ways. Yeah, let me give you some examples. James the Great. This was the son of Zebedee. He was murdered by Herod Agrippa. And that's in your Bible in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. No, he didn't turn. He didn't say, okay, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. No, he died a martyr. He died faithful. The executioner of James, James was executed, saw his innocence and was saved after the execution of James. And when they saw he became a believer, they killed him on the spot. Isn't that amazing? Philip, he planted churches in Scythia and in Syria, north of Israel. He was scourged and then put into prison. Then they tied his head to a pillar and he was stoned in Phrygia in AD 54 by the Ebionites at Hierapolis. He didn't recant. He didn't change his beliefs. Mark, James the Less, this was the one who was not an apostle. This was the half-brother of Jesus. He was the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He was cast from the top of the temple in AD 63 by order of Ananias, the high priest. And then when they saw he was still living, they clubbed him to death. This was when he was an older man. Barnabas. You've heard of Barnabas, the companion of Saul. Barnabas, he was an apostle, but he was one of the 70 disciples. He was dragged with a rope around his neck out of the city of Salamina by the order of the Jewish sorcerer. And when he was dragged that way out of the city, then they burned him outside the city. That was in Cyprus at AD 64. Mark, the evangelist. This was not an apostle, but this was the nephew of Barnabas. After returning to Jerusalem from Barnabas and Paul, Paul recommended him to the church at Colossae. He was led to Christ by Peter. Many call Mark the disciple of Peter. He preached in Alexandria, Egypt, and North Africa. And while preaching in Alexandria, he was dragged out of the city by ropes. They put hooks in his flesh and drug his body out until he died. That was AD 64. A lot of persecution was happening. Peter, they crucified him upside down on a cross at 70 years old in Jerusalem in AD 67 under Nero's persecution. Paul, beheaded during Nero's persecution in Rome, AD 67. Andrew led the governor's wife Maximilla to Christ in Achaia. The governor was furious. He said, "I'll crucify you, Andrew." And Andrew said, "If I feared the death of the cross, I wouldn't have preached the cross." And Andrew was one of the disciples that was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He hung there for 3 days. Then he died. Bartholomew, he was filleted alive and beheaded in Armenia in AD 70. He went to Syria, then to India, and then he came back to Armenia. He led the king's brother, the king's wife, and the king's two sons to Christ. The king was furious, and he said, "You've perverted my brother." Bartholomew said, "He's not perverted, he's converted." He was beaten with rods, then they suspended him upside down on a cross, and they cut and filleted the skin off of him. He started preaching the gospel, and to get him to shut up, they beheaded him while he was upside down. That was AD 70. Thomas the Apostle, he led 12 cities in India to Christ. Y'all heard of Doubting Thomas? 12 cities he led to Christ. When the last city he was in, they put him on red hot iron plates and cooked him in a furnace, and right before he expired, soldiers ran him through with spears in Kalmina, India. Matthew, the apostle, to this day in Nadavar, which is the capital of Ethiopia, there's a sign that says these churches were established by the apostle Matthew. That's to this day in Ethiopia. Matthew, they took outside the city, they nailed him to the ground and beheaded him, AD 70, and that would be in Ethiopia. Just one more. Luke, who was not an apostle, he was hanged in Greece at 84 years old in 93 AD. He was hanged in Greece. All of the apostles, all of the friends of Jesus, the followers of Jesus are killed in bloody ways, yet not one of them turns on the Savior and says, "Okay, we were just joking around and we hid his body." Not one of them said that. Every one of them till their death said, "He's alive and lives forevermore." They couldn't get him to shut up. They all knew, they all gave up everything they had in this world to proclaim what they knew was infallible and proven, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Every one of them held true to their testimony. The book of Acts describes the acts of those who were the eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at it this morning. We're going to see how they went to a world of unbelievers and fierce opponents, men who would imprison, beat, and kill them. And what's amazing, as God shows us what they preached, they never said one word. Listen now, in all the preaching through the book of Acts, they didn't say one word about the corrupt Roman government. Their government was a lot more corrupt than ours. I think ours has some issues. I'm thankful for our president, but there's a sewer up there in Washington, D.C. I'm glad he's draining the sewer. But they never said one word about the corrupt Roman government. They didn't say anything about reforming the synagogues and reforming the teachings of Judaism. They never mentioned the world's need for better education, better housing, better food. Everywhere they went, all through the book of Acts, they told anyone that would listen and those that wouldn't listen, "Jesus Christ is risen from the dead." That's what they said over and over again. They were faithful to the one message the Holy Spirit gave them. even though whips were laid across their backs, though they were thrown into disgusting vile. Everybody understand? When you were put in prison in those days, they didn't let you out to use the restroom. You didn't have, you know, now you get your own website and your own three hots and a cot and all that stuff, and we got our rights to in a workout room. Prison wasn't like that. You went to prison. Many people died just by going to prison. The diseases they caught, some of them didn't last 10 days. Prisoners had no rights. I don't think prisoners have rights. I don't think they need to be mistreated, but trust me, we give them a pretty golden road. Oh, you killed somebody? Good. We'll give you 33 years and, you know, on death row. Well, isn't that a blessing? Costing the American people $90,000 a year. Aren't you a wonderful blessing to taxpayers? I'm more for the Texas thing. I think they need a express line to the electric chair. Back to the sermon. Back to the sermon. I don't know how we got off on that. They were thrown into disgusting, vile prisons. They were faithful as they watched each other being put to death one by one. They never backed off or altered the message. They never changed the message to fit the culture. They weren't culturally sensitive at all. They told the Jew and the Gentile, the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the brown man, every man and woman, boy and girl within the sound of their voice that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. You know what our message is? If you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Socialist, Progressive, or a none of the above, you know what our message is? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. If you're concerned about women's rights, children's rights, or if you don't even know what bathroom to use, I still got a message for you. Amen? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I hope you figure out the bathroom problem, okay? If you're concerned about gun rights or slingshot rights or bows and arrow rights, knives, terrorists, the economy, or aliens from across the border or from outer space, I got a message for you this morning. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 2. Think about this while you go there. Acts chapter 2, turn it over. A group of men who had forsaken Jesus and fled for their lives just 1 week earlier. A group of men who stood by a fire, cursed, swore, and denied that they knew the Lord. A group of men who spent 1 week hiding in an upper room for fear of their lives. They've now prayed for 10 days, and the power of the Holy Spirit fills them and emboldens them to preach the yearly gathering of Jews from many nations. Now they're no longer afraid. They're no longer cursing and denying the Lord. They rush into the public place, and revival takes place. Look at Acts chapter 2. This was their message. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Watch this, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now go down to verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Everybody see the message? The first thing they preach to the crowd is, I'm telling you, Jesus is alive from the dead. God determined that sinners would be saved by the death of his son on the cross. God determined that sinners would have eternal life through his son rising from the dead. The part that the Jews, Herod, Pilate, and the soldiers and the Pharisees played in the death of Jesus, it was trivial. God the Father and God the Son determined that Jesus Christ would die so you could have a way of salvation. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was proclaimed by the angels, by the Lord Jesus himself, and by everyone who saw him after that, that he was alive. The truth of the resurrection for us is this. If you want to have eternal life, don't look to any man who is sure to die as you are. Amen? I'm so glad. Look, nobody this morning is trying to get you to trust a pastor or a priest or anybody. Amen? We're pointing you to Jesus. We're glad of that. The truth of the resurrection is this. Look to the man who faced death, went to its doors, experienced it, and after 3 days and 3 nights, conquered it, and then left the underworld, his grave and his burial clothes, because he'd never need them again, because he is now alive forevermore. Go to him, the one that rose. Why would you look to a pastor or a priest or a rabbi or a pope or an imam who has never conquered death, but instead is going to die just like you are? Why would you look to any man for salvation? Amen. Somebody asked the question, do you think Christians are the only ones that are going to heaven? And they want to use that against you. Who do we have to choose from? There's only one that rose from the dead. There's not like six religions. Well, that one rose from the dead and that one rose from that. They all died. Amen. Well, there's only one. So do you think, okay, here's what I think. I think if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, the one who conquered death, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what I believe. Amen? You say, why? Because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. This is why the disciples didn't preach about poverty or riches. They didn't preach about upper class, middle class, lower class, no class. They preached that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Now, Hebrews 9:27 says this. It's appointed unto men once to die. Once. All of us will not be poor, and all of us will not be rich. All of us will not be oppressed, and all of us will not be an oppressor. Listen, our lives are as different as our faces. But one thing every one of us has in common is we're all going to die. That's what we all have in common. It's not appointed unto man once to dine lavishly. It's not appointed unto man once to take a life-altering vacation. It's not appointed unto man once to graduate from a place of higher learning. But one appointment all of us have in common is we all have an appointment with death. Every one of us. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to be poor for everyone or rich for everyone. He didn't come into this world to be conservative for everyone or liberal. Jesus didn't come into this world to be a certain skin color for everybody or a certain nationality for everyone. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for everyone. Amen? To die for everyone. Now, Jesus died for all of us. So after he rose from the dead, any of us could look to Jesus for salvation. This world will always play around with Easter bunnies, chocolate eggs, jelly beans. Look, that's what Easter is to them. You know, families wear, I like wearing the same outfits too, but it's Easter if everybody wears the same thing, and, you know, we all get our picture, you know, with the same background, and, okay, I'm all for that, but that's what it is to the world. They know nothing of the resurrection. They're going to hunt for eggs today and look for chocolate bunnies, and I don't have a problem with it. That's not the biggest thing that happened 2,000 years ago. That's not what I'm celebrating today. I'm glad there's a Savior of sinners who conquered your one great enemy so you never have to fear death. Why would you go water down, change, and cheapen that message? Why would you get excited about any other message? Presidents come and go. Political movements come and go. Social causes come and go. But one thing remains the same. There's a grave waiting for your body. And where will your soul be when your body is in that grave? There's only one who went to a grave and came out by his own power. And that's the Lord Jesus. You're in Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 3. Look at the message again. I told you before, it's mentioned 40 times in the New Testament. 40 times. 24 times the resurrection is preached about in the book of Acts. And when you read the book of Acts, all 28 chapters, every chapter has something to do with either they're either preaching or they're being persecuted because they're preaching. Persecution and preaching. It just flip-flop back and forth through the whole book. Look at Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Now, when you read the first two verses, here's a man that was born crippled from his mother. So since he's been a baby, he couldn't walk. And Peter looks on him and says, "Silver and gold have I none." That's a lot different than what's being pushed by megachurch leaders. The millions. To them, Christianity is a business. The apostles had no silver and gold. That wasn't their key focal point. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Look at verse number 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They'd never walked. Verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Go down to verse 12. Then Peter saw it. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Think about this. If you saw somebody lame from birth get up and rise up and walk, it'd probably be one of the most amazing things you've ever seen in your life. I've never seen that, and there's no history of it in 2,000 years since the apostles died either. It's something only Jesus and the apostles did, regardless of what Benny Hinn tells you. But if we saw it, we'd think, that's amazing. But the apostles are saying, this is no big deal. This is not the big thing. Look at verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Look down at verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter is saying, I know this man just got up and walked and is running and leaping into the temple. He said, but this is no big deal. This is no big deal. This is not amazing. Jesus rising from the dead, that's amazing. You say, are you sure? Listen closely. I know when people are in pain physically, it's encompassing. It's all they can think. I understand that. But if you fix their pain, it's only temporary, right? If you could take the pain away, it's only their body is still going to die. The body's still going to die. The greatest need you have is your soul. Peter is saying physical healing, like this man got, helps for a moment, but Jesus rising from the dead makes eternal spiritual healing available. Think about it. Jesus was murdered by people who believe in God. Jesus was murdered by very religious people. He was murdered by people who claimed to be people of faith. They took his broken body down off the cross, embalmed it, wrapped it in linen clothes, laid it in a grave. 3 days later, an angel came and rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, but to let everybody see in that there was nobody there. He had risen from the dead. Don't marvel at this man leaping. Marvel at Jesus rising from the dead. That was the message of chapter 3. Now go to Acts chapter 4. What they were telling the world was and still is the greatest news anybody could ever tell any other human being, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's amazing. All through the book of Acts, they just consistently preached the same message 24 times. Jesus is risen from the dead. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. Ready? And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, they're preaching it again. These priests were upset. Now listen closely. Because if Jesus is risen from the dead, Judaism and every other religion out there is out of business. That means you can't con people anymore. If Jesus is risen, what'd the Pope tell all the knights that went to the Crusades? If you'll go fight in the Crusades, you'll get a free ticket to heaven. That's a con job. That's conning. If Jesus is risen from the dead, we don't need your cons anymore. You can't rob and enslave people anymore since Jesus is risen from the dead. We don't need your rituals anymore. We don't need your ceremonies. We don't need your intercession. We don't need any of your holy days or holidays. I have a Savior who paid for all my sins, rose again from the dead so that I can have eternal life, and you can't enslave me anymore. I'm so glad. You must understand, religion is what opposes the simple truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. The disciples weren't preaching what was wrong with their theology. They weren't preaching about what was wrong with anybody's doctrine. If you got in the way of that religious system of the Jews, they would burn you at the stake, torture you. They'll cut your throat in some countries. They'll cut your head off. If you don't believe their religion, they'll torture you in ways you can't imagine just to shut your mouth about the only one who rose from the dead. It's against the law to preach about Jesus in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, any Muslim country where there's a dictator. It's against the law. It's not your option. They hate it. Did you know that from the book of Acts to today, there's more than 100 million Christians who've been killed for telling people that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? That's a lot. 100 million. Oh, it's over 100 million. Look at verse 8. So they throw them in jail. You're in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, here he's going to preach it again, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, watch, whom God raised from the dead. Look at verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm so glad the message is consistent all the way through the book of Acts. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and you now have a way to be saved. He not only died for your sins, he's alive to save you if you put your trust in him. What a message. All the way through. When a believer is told, now, do you realize I can use the book of Acts to help me understand if I'm threatened, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. When any Christian is told, if you don't stop, we're going to put you to death. Did you know it doesn't change anything I've been told to do? Listen closely. If they threaten me, I'm not looking for the next train out, but the worst you can do is kill me. I'll say it again. I'm not looking to die. But if I die, there's worse things that can happen to you than death. If you die without Christ, you burn in hell forever. And it never stops. I'm saved. And John R. Rice was preaching and he left and went out in the foyer and a person was angry and had a gun, stuck it right in his belly and said, I'm going to kill you. And John R. Rice looked at him and said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Go ahead, kill me. I'm going to heaven. If you think about it, I'm not trying to make light of death and we all suffer loss. But listen, if you're saved, the worst you can do is kill me. I'm going to live forever because I've placed my faith in Christ. Amen. That's what the resurrection tells me. That's what it tells me. I know we're concerned about our nation, but listen to these verses. In Romans 6:8, it says, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:11. It's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. There's a lot to be concerned about in our nation, in our government, and our families, and our loved ones. Look, the news just doesn't inform you anymore. I miss the days of my childhood. I remember, look, we only heard the news at 6 o'clock. Remember, 6 to 7 was news time, 6 to 6:30 was local, and 6:30 to 7 was world. And when it was done, it was done. Now it's just this constant bombardment. Mueller, 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 Russia, Russia, Russia. I mean, it never stops. And it's just like, bleh. It's like if you've heard it once, you've heard it a million times. And it's this bombardment of information. The world the news doesn't inform you anymore. I wrote down, it stirs you up. I think President Trump being in office and draining the sewage of the deep state has really exposed some vile people and their corruption in our nation. But I'd like to remind you of something this morning. There's a message that everyone in this world needs. And it's not a right-wing message. It's not a left-wing message. It's not a youth message. It's not an old person's message. That message is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and has made salvation possible to you. That's the greatest thing you'll ever tell any other living being. There's a lot in our world to be against. There's a lot morally to be against, to show you how sick things are. Playboy magazine is removing itself from Facebook because of Facebook's policies and practices. This is what Playboy magazine said. They disagree with the values of Facebook. Really? Isn't that like a toilet calling the sewage bin nasty? I'm trying to figure out we don't agree with you. You had values? Wicked people. That's how whacked out our society is. That's news. Everybody in this world doesn't have a pornography problem. Everybody in this world doesn't have a drug problem. Although it is a problem, but everybody doesn't have it. Everybody in this problem doesn't have a booze problem. Everybody in this world doesn't have an adultery problem. But if I stood this morning before 5 people or 50,000 people, there's one thing that everybody has in common. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. That is one message that everybody has in common. There's one message that every person you meet for the rest of your life will need. And that is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You see that so much through the book of Acts. The title of the message this morning is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We started with Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Oh, you just believe Jesus is risen from the dead because the Bible says so. There's so much outside of the Bible plus the Bible that testifies. I love the statement. You'd have to be an absolute fool to reject the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Now that you know that, what are you going to do with it? Knowing Jesus rose from the dead doesn't save you. Putting your faith in him because he rose from the dead and died for your sins, that is what saves you. Like we said, 30% of the atheists polled said, oh yes, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, but I believe Jesus lived on this earth, died, and rose again 3 days later. 33% of the atheists polled. They don't agree with Jesus, but like I said, you'd be a fool to reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, the truth, I pray that please, you could use this. I just need to ask the question, is there somebody here? You say, preacher.